What is up? My name is Kevin Wu. I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Live to Inspire podcast. Today is Tuesday. That means I hop on a client call on Zoom with my clients to talk about sugar levels. Also, sweating. Does sweating burn extra calories? Like, let's say you wear a sweatshirt, you wore some sweatpants, and just sweat your ass off in the gym. Does that actually help with fat loss? Gym gear brands. What equipment should you bring to the gym, if any? Fitbits, Apple Watches. How accurate are they for measuring calories burned? How to maximize fat loss with limiting foods? This one is actually really important, and I would highly advise you to listen to this one. So listen up. Let's go talk about the first one, which is going to be sugar levels. So sugar levels themselves, because pretty much when people start a diet, they're gonna cut carbs, they're gonna cut sugars and cut bread and that stuff. And there's a reason kind of why. That's a very kind of common thing that people kind of do. And that's the first thing that comes to mind, is because of a hormone called insulin, right? So also carbs do as well hold water, and water weight will come off a lot more drastically when you do kind of cut more carbs. But that's not exactly fat, right? So that's a big difference over there. Water and fats are a lot different. And right now, I'm definitely holding a lot of water just because of I took diuretics the day before my show, and the day of, was holding a lot of water. Then I had a lot of sodium, and I drank pretty much no water up until my show itself. And then after that, I was super dehydrated, and I had a lot of sodium in me. So the next day, I held a lot more water, and I'm still holding on to water because my body's really digesting. I actually couldn't sleep the whole night itself because my body was very, very thrown off from all the, I put a lot of stimulants in me to that day too as well. To really kind of pump up for my show to get look my absolute best, and drank black coffee, really dehydrated me. And then I had to wake up. I didn't really sleep itself. I was pretty much up all night until my flight, because my buddy was funny. He was asking me, this is on the Saturday, I was flying back on the Sunday. So a couple, what was it, 3 days ago? Pretty much what had happened is I was trying to sleep itself, literally could not sleep, tried everything. And then, I was like, okay, maybe it's the water, right? Maybe it's super dehydrated. So I chugged like 2 liters right there. Didn't really help. Tried like, add an extra fan, tried different things, and just, I literally could not sleep, and it was terrible. But besides that, back to the question itself, going back to insulin, if you constantly have like high blood sugar levels, it's gonna make it really hard for you to lose weight. Insulin is a big hormone itself. That's going to really dictate pretty much a lot of your fat loss. Now, you typically don't want to have carbs in every single meal if your goal is to lose fat due to carbs spiking up the sugar levels. Now, this also depends on types of food as well, and how it in a role how it affects basically your blood sugar levels. So if you had like more sweets, like say bananas versus the potatoes, the bananas are going to spike blood sugar levels a lot higher and more dramatically. And in that time period, and if you do eat a lot of those kind of foods, or like a chocolate bar versus rice, then it's going to make it harder for you to lose weight, right? Even though the calories might be the same, and that kind of aspect, equivalent-wise, it's going to make it harder just because of that high blood sugar levels. When your blood sugar levels are high, your body's not going to burn fat. So you guys really want to make sure that with every single meal, you don't really typically want to have really high sugar kind of foods itself, because that's going to do that. And that kind of aspect, typically times that are better to kind of have those kind of stuff, like let's say bananas or chocolate bars, something sweets, or doing something that is before or after your workout, is because your body's more in a ready state to absorb those high carbohydrates after or before your workout to actually utilize that for energy, right? So that's typically when you see if I do put like say something sweet or like Rice Krispies or something cereal, something like that, it's either before or after your workout. There's a reason for that. Now, in the fact that carbs can spike your insulin levels, if you do like white potato or rice, it's going to do it it's a very slight increase, which is not going to kind of affect you at all, and definitely going to actually help with extra metabolism as well, because your carbs are going to help play a role in boosting metabolism. If you guys just drop your carbs itself and have like no carbs, your metabolism is going to go down over time. Now, with that being said too as well, that's going to affect your T3 levels, basically your thyroid kind of levels themselves, and that's another hormone that's going to affect your weight loss a lot. So insulin is a very important kind of hormone, and it's very, it's a very important one. Now, a big thing too as well, if you guys are just eating carbs alone, like let's say you just had banana alone, or you just had chocolate bar alone, or you just had a donut by itself, that's probably one of the worst things you can do, especially do that consistently, because with, let's say if you ate some kind of fats, like let's say some almond butter and some like protein, This is why I recommend protein every single meal. It's going to slow down that digestion of that carbohydrate. So let's say you donut, we all say like a chicken breast or like a protein shake. It's going to slow down digestion of that carb or that's kind of source of that sugar spike. And it's going to moderate that. So it's your insulin levels are not just going to spike up and spike down. And you have a big crash. You might notice your energy levels just drop just like that. But if you have like protein shake or some omelet or some kind of fat, like I don't know, some chicken breast or some kind of steak or something like that, and you actually have like a donut or something like that, it's going to be way better in that kind of aspect because it's going to slow down that digestion over there. You're not going to have that crash. And then if you keep like crashing or like spike of insulin a lot and it drops down, spikes up a lot, then drops back down, then it's going to cause long-term kind of problems, right? This is when people kind of become diabetic, and that's why they have a harder time kind of losing weight. And this is when really serious health consequences can happen. So this is always why I recommend or actually seek to as well on all your meals on your meal plan, have some kind of protein source. All right, so next one, the sweating, extra during workouts help with fat loss. So this question, yes and no in that aspect. Fat, no. Water weight, yes. So when you do sweat, it's pretty much just the water weight over there. So you guys wear like more layers of clothing, you know, so sweat more. It might feel like you're getting better workout. Yes, absolutely. And that's a lot of water weight coming off, right? And especially if you are someone who has more body fat, you are going to absolutely lose more water weight in cells. Like right now for my workouts, I pretty much like kind of barely sweat in cells because I don't have nearly as much kind of fat, right? Now, even posing on stage, I remember my first show, I was definitely sweating a lot more. I wasn't as conditioned. Second show, I was sweating a little bit. I know it's really hot up there too as well when I was stepping on stage, but this show itself didn't sweat like at all. And I was pumped up with a lot of fucking stimulants and shit like that. And I did not sweat at all on the stage. Like it was really hot too as well. That's because I was really skint. I had like no body fat percentage and I was really just dry over there, right? I had just no water. So if you have a lot of fat on itself, you are, or high body fat percentage, you're going to sweat more. And that's just water weight coming off. But yes, that's going to reflect on your scale weight. So it might make you feel better in that kind of aspect, but actual fat itself and that kind of portion, no, it's not going to help you really do that, right? So actually wearing that extra stuff. Now, a lot of people will do this too as well. When they, let's say they go to sauna, or let's say you've ever seen those people with like garbage bags and stuff like that. That's them pretty much trying to make weight for a category because their body holds on to a lot of water itself and it's mostly made of water. So that's them trying to cut as much water weight as possible in a short period of time, right? So I know a couple of my buddies itself, they have to make weight for the categories they compete in. I being like men's physiques or board shorts, I don't have a weight cap unless I go pro. They actually haven't been a weight cap for the pro leagues more than like, was it 6 months from now? So I have to worry about that later on. But as of right now, I don't have to. Now, gym gear brands to wear. So useful equipment to bring to the gym. This person itself, it's just the ask for like D-rings, tricep ropes. Now, the only equipment I would actually bring itself, if anything, if you could, would be wrist straps, the belts, and weighted belts for like pull-ups or dips if you need to. Let's say you do more than the rep range itself. I prescribed you like 8 to 10 on pull-ups. Then you do more than that, then you bring a weight belt dip or for prescribed weighted pull-ups in your program, and then bring that weight belt dip itself to the gym and you use that. The belt can help for squats or the deadlifts or something Romanian deadlifts, so you don't have that lower back pain, especially using heavier weights or wrist straps when the limiting factor is your grip strength and not your actual leg strength itself. So, with that being said, because let's just say you could deadlift like 400 pounds, right? But your grip strength, you can only hold like 200. Well, you're limited by the factor of your grip strength, and that's not what we're trying to really work on. We're really trying to work on those other muscle groups, right? So wrist straps are going to help neglect that kind of factor and change that. Now, and there's also one other one that I really do like. It's called a mag grip. If you want to start showing up, you can use that for the pull downs. My private gym I go to right now has that one right now. I never really brought it to the gym, but I see some people bring it to the gym because I love it that much. And that is one equipment that I personally might actually do bring if I down the kind of road, but I don't really see the need to. There's always other exercises. All right. So Fitbits, Apple Watch, etc. How accurate are they for measuring calories burned? So a lot of people kind of look at this and they think it's like the most accurate thing and just kind of judge by that. Now, I personally just use it to gauge my steps itself because that's very accurate, right? It's tracking the same metric. And let's just say it wasn't accurate itself. The trend in your direction, like let's just say if you try to hit 10K steps per day itself, that aspect, and it has like an actual statistic on it, then you could use that as a kind of guidelines on that kind of range. But the calories burning aspect, it's not very accurate at all, right? I remember Googling this as well, kind of overestimated the calories burned by like 60% during walking, underestimated the calories burned by 59% during cycling, overestimated the calories burned by 39% during jogging. So the actual calories burned, when you kind of tally all that, the whole calories tallies burned for the day itself was very inaccurate, right? Now, something you can use it as, it almost like a baseline. Like, let's just say one day yourself, you see, I don't know, 2,500 calories burned on your Fitbit or your Apple Watch. The next day, it's 2,700. Yeah, okay, maybe you did move more a little bit that day. You almost use it as a baseline of like, is my trend going upwards? Is it going downwards? Let's say 4 weeks from now, it's at like 1,900 calories burned per day. Well, that might be a problem and why you're stalling the weight loss, right? So that could be a nice little way to go. I know I mentioned about the overestimating, underestimating calories, but like as a general trend, that could be a useful way to kind of look at those numbers if you were to look at that. But calories burned is something I never really look at itself. I always look at my step goal for the day, and I just use that to make sure I hit it. And I actually set it up so it has like a little notification when I do hit it too as well. But I always constantly check, but it's nice to have it like vibrate and like, oh, a little milestone, and I feel a little good. All right. So how to maximize fat loss with eliminating foods. Now, this one's a pretty cool one itself, and I more so really dove into this one and learned a lot more about this one in the last like 20 weeks. So this all has to do with inflammation. So when your body is inflamed, let's just say a food you eat doesn't really agree with you. A lot of foods, a very common ones, are like peanuts, right? So a lot of people have like peanut allergies themselves. That's probably one of the most common ones in the world, or some kind of intolerance to that, or even cheese. Most people have some kind of intolerance to cheese themselves. But if your body's, let's just say, inflamed by them, and you can notice by like constipation, diarrhea, or you get gassy, like you fart more itself, or you're bloated, then this is going to make it super hard for you to actually lose fat, right? So when your body's inflamed, especially your gut itself, because that's directly the center of everything, then your body's going to have a very, very hard time actually losing this fat off your body. It's going to be fighting it, right? It's going to be fighting fat loss versus a, like, let's say a nice smooth ride. Like if you're in a roller coaster going down the smooth ride over there, that's what you want, right? But now let's say you're eating all of these foods and cells that don't agree with your body. I can kind of explain a little bit more. It might be like going on the roller coaster, but you're going in just like that straight line. You might see some bumps here and there. It's something like a little tiny dip, and it keeps going straight and a little tiny dip, and then it's going to make it a lot harder and a lot longer for your fat loss. Now, there's also a lot of common ones themselves that cause pretty much the little inflammation. So you really want to maximize your progress to the maximum ability itself. You would probably want to eliminate like the spices. Most of them itself do kind of have some like extra things they do add into them, right? So the only spices I would personally use, you really want to maximize fat loss, is your salt, cinnamon, black pepper, and garlic powder. That's it. Like the Clubhouse spices, they add a lot of stuff to it. Like if you look at the ingredients, a lot of them might have maybe some added sugar or some just like other added stuff to it itself that can cause that little inflammation. That's one of them. Or sugar-free sauce too as well. I know they're great for, you know, rapid prep. But this, I'm talking about maximizing fat loss, like maximum ability, and having as much of smooth ride as possible. This is something I have done for the last 8 weeks now. It's eliminating pretty much all this stuff, and it's definitely kind of helped in this aspect. But I'm really trying to dial in for a strategic goal, and it's a very intense goal, right? So this is something, other foods I will add back in after I'm done my prep for my bodybuilding shows, because this is not, I mean, it is sustainable, but it's not enjoyable for the rest of my life in that kind of aspect. And if I want to actually, I mean, I could still look good and feel good too as well, but this, I'm talking about maximizing fat loss, last mobility. So like sugar-free sauces, like my sugar-free barbecue sauce itself, I absolutely miss that stuff. As like guar gum, it has some other sweeteners. I think it was like aspartame, some things like that. And no, aspartame is not bad for you, but it could cause a little inflammation. And this is where we're talking about fat loss. And anything that's artificially sweetened or preservatives, something that will cause a little bit of inflammation in your body. And to the extent it does, it depends on person to person, depending on your guts. For me personally, I actually took a DNA test, and I was very, very highly sensitive to all these, which made sense. But I did cut it out, and I dropped a lot of weight right away, and I started feeling a lot better. I had less cravings, which is pretty cool, right? But it definitely took a lot of flavor right away, and it took me a little while to use to. I was craving them for quite a while. And even right now, I do miss them, but it's not like I'm craving them like when I first did. So right? Or even like the pops, the sugar-free pops themselves. On that side of things, I have a lot of artificial sweeteners, food coloring and stuff like that, that can cause inflammation in your guts and make it a little bit harder for your body to actually lose that weight. It's basically fighting for the weight loss itself, especially when you add everything together. Like, you know, if you took away these kind of foods from like the other spices that are not salt, pepper, garlic powder, and cinnamon, you took away the sugar-free spices, I mean, the sugar-free sauces, and you started taking away these like brain energy drinks, the energy drinks themselves, those sugar-free pops, or like make the sugar-free maple syrups, that kind of aspect, or even like a lot of artificially or processed food. Let's just say you go to the grocery store and you had some, I don't know, like those flapjacks, Kodiak cakes, something like that. They have some processed stuff in it. If you take all of the stuff away one by one and you add them all together, you take away a lot of the inflammation from your body, and they could all lead to more and a smoother ride for your fat loss. That makes sense, right? So cutting out one thing at a time itself, you probably might not really notice much. When you start to cut back here and there and all the stuff that's like, you know, like processed or added stuff like that, and that's probably when you notice the biggest difference, right? So it's a lot pretty cool when you kind of really dope into this. Now, there's a lot of other foods too as well, and this is going to depend person to person. There's a couple of ways to tell them. One, I personally did a DNA test, but before I did my DNA test itself and found out which foods I was very sensitive to, like I found I was very sensitive to peanuts, and I didn't really realize that, and I didn't really feel the effects of it when I eat it. But like even shrimp itself, cod, halibuts, pork, and broccoli, and what is it, some other foods, I was deficient in some vitamins too as well. When I started eliminating all those kind of foods that I found over there, and also pretty much cabbage too as well, is very inflammatory to me and very gassy. They started to really kind of add up, and I started to feel a lot better, right? Not just one thing I cut out or changed up. It was all those things kind of added together that made my fat loss a lot more smooth. And I definitely noticed that in my body too as well, which is pretty cool to kind of see that come together. Now, even protein powder itself, I eliminated that for the last, 5 weeks now. Well, yeah, I actually had it here and there itself when I really, really, really craved it. And I kind of caved in. But other than that, itself, pretty much cut it all out the last, probably like 7 weeks. That's probably why I caved in here and there. I definitely noticed like the difference over there. I know mine's sweetened with stevia, but a lot of other ones, and stevia is not as bad. It's more of a natural one. A lot of the other ones are sweetened, like, I'm not sure it's aspartame or sucralose or some other stuff like that, but that's generally a little bit even more of high inflammatory because it's not naturally sweetened like stevia. But even stevia kind of does, for me personally, my God, to my DNA test and from all that stuff, it showed that I was very, very, very sensitive. So I decided to cut that out to make the best and the most out of my prep, to look my absolute best. So that being said, if you, let's just say, don't do the DNA test, some things you could do itself, let's say, eat a meal, and then 30 minutes later or 20 minutes later, an hour later, you notice yourself feeling bloated or gassy, that, you know, you kind of like fart more itself, or you had diarrhea like maybe an hour later, 2 hours later, or constipated, you might want to try to eliminate that food. But let's just say you have three kind of foods, right? And they're a little healthier. Let's just say it was ground beef and some quinoa or something like that, or even oatmeal. Actually, that's probably a bad combo. Let's say ground beef, quinoa, and you had some broccoli. And then let's just say an hour later, you're really gassy, start farting a lot more. Then maybe you could try eliminate the broccoli. Switch it out for like green meat, something like that. And if you're still gassy itself, maybe just try eliminating that ground beef and switch it out to like a chicken breast. And then maybe you're fine after that, right? So, you know, it was pretty much the ground beef, right? Kind of eliminating different foods because at the end of the day, you had three of different things. And the most likely two are the quinoa, ground beef, and broccoli, probably even the broccoli or the ground beef, right? So that's kind of like the process you go to try eliminate that off your diet. Don't do the DNA test, just kind of manipulating those variables. Now, if you only had one food, which is probably not typically the case, then it's probably, if you go to like Taco Bell or something like that, or you go to like Panda Express, you probably have a bigger meal itself, and it's probably gonna not be so great in your stomach anyways. And you might not want to try to eliminate those variables, but just try to avoid them as much as you can itself on that kind of aspect, if you're really trying to maximize that fat loss. But when your actual typical day-to-day diet, even something like oatmeal, some people can have this inflammatory response too. And that might, it's like a good food for you, right? So, but you might want to switch that one out. So because it doesn't really agree with your body, and although it's a healthy food, lower calories too as well, it can be switched out and your fat loss will be smoother. So hopefully that makes sense over there. I find this one actually really interesting. And I've been diving it into more and more and even more as we kind of go by to swallow, just because I find this topic extremely interesting. I want to learn most of my account about it. I know quite a lot about it right now itself, but I always know there's more to learn, and that's what I'm here for. And I want to give you guys the best info, but also help you guys the most I can too as well. All right, so that was it for the... Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in their 20s trying to lose weight and get abs for the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWoo underscore. That is K-E-V-I-N-W-U-W underscore. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.